I pray that as we turn our attention to your word, that you would speak to us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the book of Proverbs, Father, packed so full of wisdom, Lord, and guidance and direction for us, young and old alike. And I pray, Father, that as we study together this morning, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. Let your Holy Spirit guide us and help us to understand what you would say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs, chapter 22. One of the things I like about camping is being able to gather around the fire, whether it's in the early morning or in the evening, as we gather around and experience the warmth of the glow of the fire, as we cook hot dogs or do s'mores or whatever it happens to be that's going on. And it is such a sweet time. And I thought, you know, really, that's exactly what we do when we come to church. We really gather around the fire, the fire of God's love, the fire of God's word, the fire of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is a sweet time. It's a great time. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has placed within us a love to be around the fire, if you will. And so this morning, we begin in chapter 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. You know, names mean something more so in the Bible, I think, than in these days. The names were given for particular reasons, but today we realize that names in our culture, they elicit great emotion, whether it's in politics or religion or sports. You know, what comes to mind when your name is mentioned? What would people think about? How would they respond? Are we living our lives for God's honor or for man's? We want to be those who are living in such a fashion that when people hear our names, they turn their attention to the things of God, that they know that we're his children, and that they know they can come to us and talk with us about those things which are going on in their lives. It's important, you see, because God has created us for a purpose. He says in verse 2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. He is the one who made us. He is the one who made every other thing in the universe as well. And the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11, tells us that he made all of that for his good pleasure. And so I ask myself the question, am I doing that? Am I bringing my Lord pleasure? I call him my heavenly father. Am I living a life that brings him pleasure? Am I doing that? The people in Revelation 4:11 declare, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so when we enter into the sanctuary, when we enter into worship this morning, was sweet as we were worshiping, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and there's much power, and the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving in our world, and I'm so thankful for it. In verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So the Lord tells us some things that I kind of can get into verse 4. If we're willing to embrace humility and the fear of the Lord, he says there's some things that are going to result from that, some things that you're going to receive. Riches and honor and life. That sounds like a pretty good menu. So as we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we don't understand the things that are unfolding in our lives, when things are not going the way we expected them to go, we humble ourselves before him and say, Lord, you're the one that's in control. You're the one that's sovereign. You're the one that's orchestrating the details of my life. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I honor you. I reverence you. And he says, as we do that, he reveals himself to us. We are to walk, you see, as children of light. We want to be far away from wickedness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And how important is that? Because the light exposes the dangers ahead. It talks there about thorns and snares that are in the way of the froward. But you see, as we walk before the Lord in righteousness, we have his light shining forth that we might experience victory over those things that come at us. One fellow wrote, he says, if you want fewer temptations, change the road you're walking on. And I like that. Just change the road you're walking on. Change the direction you're going. If you're in that place of being hammered by the world, perhaps it's time to change directions. Perhaps it's time to gain new focus. And then we have a familiar verse to many of us. It was mentioned earlier this morning. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a powerful verse. It's an axiom, really, that we can hold on to. I mean, it played out in my life, and I'm sure that many of you could say the same. But really, when you stop and think about it, it's not a single point of information. It is a process. Training up a child in the way that they should go is not a moment in time, but it's a lifestyle that the Lord gives us. You see, that idea of training up means to dedicate or consecrate, to train by example. And as you work with your kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because they're all so different. That we have to be aware of their strengths. We have to think about their weaknesses, because we have to train them differently depending on who God has wired them to be. And that provides a challenge for us, but a great opportunity also to see the Lord do powerful things in the lives of our kids. What is our primary goal for our children? To raise them to be successful in this life? To see them highly educated so that they can get a good job? Whatever comes to your mind, is that our goal? Is that your goal? It's the wrong goal. Now, those things in and of themselves aren't wrong, but our goal should be to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them to be godly young men, godly young women. So as they go into the world, as they pursue that avenue that God has them on, whether it's education or building a family, whatever it happens to be, the foundational reality is that they are sons and daughters of God, first and foremost. And that they're going to turn their attention to him as they make decisions for their life. Our primary goal in training must be the ways of the Lord, because as we train them up in the way that they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I'm so thankful for that truth. That's an unchanging, unshakable truth, and we need to hold on to it tightly. In verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Boy, that's a powerful truth in our day. As you read about the debt that our nation and really the world is under, we watch our government spend trillions of dollars that they don't have, and it's just heading down quickly. This is a truth, the bondage of indebtedness. The scripture says that the borrower is slave to the lender. So we have to ask ourselves the question this morning, whose slave am I? And if we've made some wrong choices in our life and we find ourselves being the slave to the lender, it's easy, again, to change the road that you're on, to recalibrate, to begin to pay off that debt, to be set free from it. There's some many, many good resources for that. Larry Burkett was just now gone to be with the Lord, but just a master. He was so gifted in finances and provided materials that people can use. And now I think it's Crown Ministries. Was it Dave Ramsey, perhaps, is his name? I can't remember for sure. But resources that will help us escape that trap. Whose slave am I? Paul was able to say, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm a doulos. I've chosen to be a servant of the one true and living God. And that's really what we need to do, right? We need to get to that place where we can say, Lord, I've made some silly decisions. I've made some bad mistakes. Lord, I've gotten caught up in sin. I've gotten myself into bondage. But Lord, I know you can set me free because you are the great chain breaker. We sing it, right? There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Do we believe that? I hope so, because it's true. Verse 8 says, he that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Where am I sowing my resources this morning? If I'm sowing my resources into wrong things, it's going to lead to problems. It's going to lead to anger. His anger shall fail. You see, I get angry when I am not getting what I think I deserve. I get angry when people come and talk to me about the direction I'm going. I have a faithful brother or sister who comes to me and says, you know, Mark, I think you need to think about, and it's easy to get angry about that. We don't like being confronted when we're doing the wrong things. And it can cause others to get angry as they watch what's going on in our lives. Where am I sowing my resources? Verse 9 says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. The bountiful eye, the idea of a singleness of vision, or the giving eye, the one who sees a need and reaches out to meet it. I'm so thankful that you are givers to other people of your time, of your prayers, of your resources. What a blessing that is. We need to be those. The Lord is teaching us to be servants, really, because our ultimate example is Jesus, who was the one who had no place to lay his head, and yet he gave his life for everyone who came in contact with him. And that's the kind of life we need to live, because you see, that's the proper heavenly focus. Jesus would say this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. It's that heavenly principle of sowing and reaping. God's no man's debtor. You've heard people say that again and again, but it's true. We're not going to outgive God. We're not going to. Talking with people who, I was just talking with my wife this weekend, and she was sharing with me her grandmother and grandfather, who have gone to be with the Lord now. Very, just wonderful people, wonderful, wonderful people. Love the Lord. We're married for, I don't know, 70 years or something like that. And they were lovers of Jesus. And she said, you know, in those days, the early days, things were hard. They were never wealthy people. They always had enough of what they needed. But she said there were times when they had to go and sell one of their animals so that they could give their tithe to the body, to the church. But that's a flow of the heart that has a bountiful eye. You see, we can learn much from those people like that, and we need to be looking for them. Verse 10, cast out the scorner, and contention will go out. Yea, strife and reproach will cease. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. As you read those verses, we have to ask the question, are we poisoning or purifying the lives of those around us? I was reading a writing of Pastor Chuck Smith of Costa Mesa, who's now gone to be with the Lord. He said, yeah, he said, there was a lot of scorners that we had to remove from the body. He said he had an assisting pastor. His name was Romaine. And Romain was, before his pastoral role, was a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps. Everybody was afraid of him, but he was a lover of Jesus, but he had no qualms about removing the scorner. It's so important. You see, Solomon says to remove the poison, because if we're willing to do that, it says that we will be the king's friend. And as I read that, I think we'll be the friend of Jesus, our king, as we live our lives in such a fashion as to bring him glory. In James, we read, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I love that testimony of Abraham. I hope we want that to be the testimony of our lives as well, that we will be known as friends of God. Wow, that's exciting, right? Friends of God. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the wicked. God's preservative power. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs tells us. As we fear him, as we walk with him, as we gain in knowledge about him and gain in wisdom, which is another part of that fear of the Lord, it says that the Lord then preserves us. He surrounds us with his presence. He surrounds us with that hedge of protection we talk about regularly. And I think it's important in these days that we realize that God is preserving us. He's protecting us, and we should be praying for that personally, as couples, as families, as a fellowship. We should be praying for God's covering and hedge of protection, because Satan is, man, he is full tilt trying to destroy lives. But we can have victory, because greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to fear him. We just have to be aware that he's real, that he's on the move, and that we need to be aware. We need to be aware. So let's increase in knowledge. Let's increase in wisdom as we spend time with the Lord. Verse 13, the slothful man or the lazy man says, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. There are always people looking for an excuse not to connect. Just can't quite do it. The diligent work much and talk little. The lazy person is the other way around. They can always find a reason why they can't do something. It's often said that if you want to get something done, find a busy person and give it to them. It's true. It's true. We need to be engaged, guys. The fleshly eye exaggerates the danger, while the spiritual eye says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you found that to be true today? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He will give us the strength to do that which he's called us to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we should pick up every task that comes along. And I know that some of you want to do that, because that's how you're wired. But we need to pray about it. We need to ask the Lord's guidance and direction. Too often people use that as an excuse when you ask them, could you perhaps take this on for a season or whatever? Immediate answer, I'll pray about it. Usually, I know that means no. We do need to pray about it. Don't get me wrong, but we shouldn't use that as an excuse. Sometimes it's okay to say no. Did you know that? No. No, I can't do that right now. Too many things going on. I've had people tell me no pretty recently, actually. And that's okay. The Lord guides us and directs us, and he will use us for his glory. Verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Really, verse 15 looks back to verse 6, right? Train up a child in the way they should go. The rod of discipline is part of that journey. Not in every case, but it is part of our toolkit. Discipline and training of our children is important. We want to be good stewards. We want to do those things which are right before them. I like what John Corson said. He said, it's been wisely said that much of child rearing is knowing which end to pat and when. Yeah. And that's true. Yeah, it's true. Okay, verse 16. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches And he that gives to the rich shall surely come to want. Verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Those two verses tell us God has a plan with benefits, that humility is the door to wise counsel. We should never get to the place where we think we cannot learn from others, that we know it all. That's a dangerous place. We want to be in that place where we realize we can learn from everyone. I can learn from the young people, and I can learn from the elder, although it's getting harder to find elders at my point in life. But you see, we need to be those who learn from one another, and that's why I appreciate so much being together in the body, young and old alike. There are times that we need to be joined together as a family, because it's in those settings that we can share with one another. Kids, take time to talk to the older folks. Learn from what they've gone through, the experiences that they've had, the wisdom that they've been given. But by the same token, we as oldsters need to be able to learn from our kids, to sit down and hear what's going on in their lives. And I just so love the energy that comes pouring across the porch out in front in the morning when we're coming together. These kids come bounding out of the cars and across the concrete and out to the swing set they go. And I thought, I love that. I love that picture, that energy, that enthusiasm for life. We could use a little more of that, guys, you older people. Enthusiasm for life. Yes, amen. Amen. Verse 19 says, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Solomon is telling his son, son, I have given you some important tools. I've given you some things that I want you to know so that your focus will always be on the Lord. We are indeed transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we put God's word into our hearts, into our minds, we're changed. Solomon was talking to his son, but I would suggest that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He has given us those things. He is leading us into his truth. That's what Jesus said as he's ministering to the disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, preparing them for his departure. He says, it's profitable that I go away, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to teach you all things. We need to be praying for the insight of the Holy Spirit as we pray, as we study, as we read, as we gather together, because the Lord's going to show up. I have to know the truth in order to answer with truth. If I know the truth, I can answer with truth. We have a lot of people around us that are looking for truth. They're confused. They're on a sea of uncertainty. And they found an empty promise in I am God, because they're not God. There's only one God, one true and living God. That I am God leads to an empty life, an empty life. And so we share with them, listen, Jesus will set you free. You will know the truth, the scripture says, and the truth will set you free. We found that to be true, those of us who know Jesus today. He set us free from all that which bound us. And he sets us free if we get tangled up in the things of the world now, because he's a loving and forgiving God. And I'm so thankful for that. He goes on there in verse 22, rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. You and I, we need to make a practice of ministering to the poor. The Lord is teaching us to have giving hearts. We are naturally keepers, are we not? We're naturally keepers. And God says, no, that's just reversed to what I want it to be. I want you to be givers. I want you to understand that I have a plan greater than your plan. I have a resource house greater than your resources. And if you'll trust me, I will minister to you as you minister to those around you who have great needs. And there are people who have great needs. And I know that many of you are doing that, and I'm so thankful. May the Lord stir our hearts in ever-increasing fashion to be ministering to those around us and praying for them and meeting not only their spiritual needs, but their material needs as the Lord leads. He goes on in verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You and I, guys, are going to take on the flavor of the company that we keep. I like Mexican food. And I thought of that dish that they make, which is onions and carrots and jalapenos. And it's all in a bowl mixed up. And I thought, you know, those carrots and those onions, they have a little bit of flavor, but not a lot. But you put them with those jalapenos, woo, it's good. Really good, because they take on the flavor of those jalapenos. Whose flavor are you and I taking on today? Who are we spending time with that is influencing us, how we think, how we speak, how we act? We need to evaluate those things. Lord, help me to be wise in my relationships. Lord, I want to be a tool in your hand to minister to those who don't know Jesus. That's part of our journey. So we need to have lots of acquaintances, lots of connections in that fashion. But Lord, my closest friends, those that I would share my intimate details with, those are the people that need to be Jesus people. Because then they can impart flavor to my life as I seek guidance, as I seek direction, as I seek input, counsel. That's why the scripture says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because they affect how we live. They affect how we act. In verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark with thy fathers, which thy fathers have set. That stirs up old memories for me, because my dad was a land surveyor, and we surveyed property all over this county over the years up until the late 70s. And we would go out and we would survey a piece of property, and we would set property corners. And then sometime down the road, we'd have to go back out and maybe work on another piece of property. And I can think of one case where we went out and we started looking for the pins that we'd set, and lo and behold, they weren't where we'd set them. They had moved. And the person had a lot more property than they had when we left. So we pulled them up and we reset them. And I'm pretty sure they went back to where they were after we left. But they moved the landmarks that they might get more property. You know, there's such an amazing picture there for you and for me. God has set our boundaries. He knows what we can handle personally, as couples, as families, and as a fellowship. We need to be satisfied. We need to be content with the allotment that God has given us. If he wants to expand our boundaries, if he wants to do a boundary line adjustment and add some property to our realm, praise the Lord for that. But let's be content. Let's honor the boundaries that God has given us. The realm in which we move is a wonderful realm, the supernatural realm. We move in the physical realm, we know that. But my heart's desire and prayer and passion for us is that we will become so consumed with the things of Christ that we will begin to see in an ever-increasing fashion with spiritual eyes. That we will see the needs, that we will see the blessings. This morning I woke up and I thought, you know, Lord, forgive me. Because so often I see what's not rather than what is. I see what's not happening rather than what is happening. And that's not a good thing. I need to begin giving the Lord thanks for what is happening. And be thankful at heart, grateful to Him, sounding His praises to the people around me about all the goodness that God has bestowed upon us. We need encouragement when we're going through tough times. We need someone to pick up the phone and say, I think Trump's going to lose. No, we don't want to say that. We want to pick up the phone and say, you know what? Isn't God good? I just called you to say, you know what? I know you're going through difficult times, but God is good. And He's going to see you through. He's going to carry you out the other end of that trial. And it's true in our lives. And we need to begin pounding that drum, if you will. As we close this morning, verse 29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean or obscure men. In that verse, we see the pursuit of excellence. The pursuit of excellence. We need to be those who pursue excellence in both worlds, in the physical world and in the spiritual world. We need to be those who are pressing on, forgetting what's behind, pressing on to the goal, Paul would say, running the race to win, and allow the Lord to use us for His glory. That pursuit of excellence is so, so important. Don't be lazy in your life. I need not be lazy. I need to pursue the Lord and the things of the Lord with all of my heart, soul, and strength. Listen, I know that you get tired. I get tired. We all get tired. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. But we can, back to the earlier verse, do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Listen, guys, we're getting close to the end. And there's going to be a time very soon we're going to stand before Jesus personally. I hope we want to hear from Him, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Nothing more important than that. Let's pray. Father, we stand before You today with hearts full, Lord, of thanksgiving for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do. I pray, Lord, that You would help each one of us purpose in our hearts and our minds, Lord, to see what is and not what isn't. That we would rejoice, Father, that we're children of the King. That we would marvel that You would call us, Lord, to be Your children and to be instruments in Your hands to bring You glory. I thank You, Father, for each and every person that is in this place today. They are a treasure. I pray You would bless each one, Lord, and that they would draw near to You. For it's there that each of us will find peace and strength and hope and help, forgiveness, direction, Lord. I pray, Father, today that those who are in this place that are in that place of discouragement, Lord, that You would rescue them. That You would pull them out of that miry clay and set them on a high place, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, has never invited Him into their life, I pray, Father, that You would give them the faith to believe this day, that they would pray, Father, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I want Jesus in my heart, that they might experience that born again transaction. Father, we're excited. We're excited about what You're doing in our lives and in this season. Continue to use us for Your glory, Lord. Help us to be content with our boundaries, Father, but also to realize that You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And if You want to expand those boundaries, You most certainly will. We give You all praise and glory and honor because You're worthy. May you find the Lord's strength, help, and hope to stay as you turn to Him. Might you be encouraged to know that He loves you with an eternal love. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.